Morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Tess.
So it's been a marathon to get here. Tell us what the bill looks like. Tell us how we got here.
Look, it really has been a marathon, and it's really important to understand this because it's something that the government originally and the 15 co-sponsors of the bill originally expected this bill to pass within a week. But as we know, it's been going on for some time. It was actually introduced 8 weeks ago, believe it or not.
Wow!
And since that time, it's been 5 full sitting days of Parliament. There's been 30 hours in committee, 72 hours of debate in total across both chambers, and that broken down is 40 hours in the upper house, which is also the third longest debate in the Parliament's history in the upper house. So it's really been quite significant. There's been 102 amendments that were proposed that had to be debated, which is why it took so long in debate. The final vote in the upper house was 26-14, and ironically, I don't know if that's the right word to use at the moment, but ironically, that was roughly the same sort of numbers as what happened 8 weeks ago as well. So despite all that effort, despite all the protests and everything else, we ended up coming back with an upper house vote that was roughly the same as when we started, and then the final vote in the lower house was carried as what they refer to as on the voices, which means that it didn't even get to the point where anybody disagreed with it, and it was just carried by the people putting their hand up and saying yay. Really, really significant bill that went across the Parliament over the last 8 weeks.
Now, the Liberal Party took a bit of a beating internally during this entire process. I mean, we had the threatened leadership spill, threats of moving to the crossbench, all sorts of fun stuff. What is the impact of this going to be, do you think, on the state Liberal Party?
There's no question that it's been an absolutely bruising 8 weeks for the Liberal Party. So internally, it split the party down the middle. And as we know, we had two Liberal Party politicians, Tanya Davies and Kevin Connolly. They actually threatened to move to the crossbench at one point. When that threat didn't work, they decided that they'd try a leadership spill, as we know. And that, ironically, on one of the longest debated bills in Parliament, that leadership spill was probably the shortest leadership spill in New South Wales political history as well. But there's no question that that this is going to hurt the Liberal Party. The only salvaging, the only grace I can get from this is that we're very early on in the election cycle, so we've only just had an election, so there will be time to actually come back from this. But there's no question that Gladys Berejiklian in particular has been damaged by this, they're really going to have to sort of go back to square one to a certain extent. Like I said, they can actually put this behind them now, finally, but the process of this has been quite damaging. Internally the Liberal Party damaging as well, but you have to remember that most people on the street don't actually follow politics that closely. So when they see headlines of late-term abortion, Gladys Berejiklian, leadership spills, those sort of things, they don't normally get into the detail, and they're the things that are going to be remembered from this bill in this last 8 weeks.
And speaking of Gladys Berejiklian, she wasn't actually there for the final vote. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, she wasn't. This is relevant in the sense that people are questioning whether Gladys should have been there or not. Now, she's saying that, I think she was quoted saying that she had the state to run in the meantime. Obviously, everybody knew in the chamber that there wasn't even going to be a vote. So there was a lot of work going on behind closed doors, behind the scenes. They knew once it got back to the lower house that the motion would probably be carried on the voices, as they say, and not even require a vote. And that's obviously why Gladys wasn't there. But the important part about this is that journalists and everybody was questioning why Gladys wasn't there. And this is the takeaway from this bill, is that this is going to reflect badly on Gladys and her leadership because, everybody's questioned. She didn't actually need to be there because they knew it was going to go straight through. But the fact that she wasn't there and the fact that she never really spoke to the bill in Parliament as well is reflecting badly on her. And it really is the takeaway from the bill more than anything else for the Liberal Party and Gladys in particular.
And now that it's finally gone through after 8 very, very long weeks, where do we go now? Is it business as usual? Are we going to pick up another sort of major topic to tackle, or is the Liberal Party never going to go anywhere near anything like this again?
Well, it's interesting. I guess, look, the thing is that they probably didn't consult enough. They consulted with the crossbench and they consulted with the 15 co-sponsors of the bill to start with. The biggest criticism is that they didn't see this. They were completely blindsided by it. Obviously, they didn't want this to take 8 weeks and they didn't want all the public protests and everything else that went on. And I guess the takeaway from them is that they're, you know, next time they get a bill like this, and there's a chance that there's going to be a bill come up in this term of Parliament in reference to voluntary euthanasia. So that's another really controversial one as well. I suspect that next time round they're going to do a lot more consulting inside the party and also inside Cabinet as well to try and make sure that they don't have to go through this again.
Well, Anthony, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for chatting to us.
My pleasure, Tess.